In these uncertain and troubled times of uncertainty, we stand together with our workplace heroes who make the wettest pancakes either side of the Mississippi flow straight to your dinner table with our exclusive curbside pickup. Joe Cam's Pancake House. Wet pancakes, no matter what.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I had a burp stuck, and I just knew the moment I opened my mouth it was going to come rolling out, but then it let me down.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed at this time.
How you doing, Cole? Good. <Yeah.
laughs> Like, I was like, oh, that's going to be nasty. And then it was nothing, and I'm sad.
I've held back so many good burps on this show where I'll just like silently let them release in my mouth and exhale. And I'm like, that would have been amazing if I would have just let it fly. I should just let them go when they come up.
Let's let them go. What the fuck do we give? We're not alone, though. Somebody else is holding in a burp. Look at that segue. I'm so good at this.
You are. Go ahead, introduce our guest.
It's not a guest, it's just fucking Aki.
At least someone knows where I stand here.
Dark guess Mika, like Aki, you are here. Aki. How are you doing?
I don't hold in burps. I don't know what the fuck Cole's talking about. If I need to burp, I don't care where I am. I'll let it out. I am not ladylike the fuck at all. Otherwise, I'm good. Probably doing better because I don't hold in burps. It's bad for your health.
I don't hold them in. I quietly release.
This gaming chair has vibration in the like the lumbar thingy.
Yeah. The louder it is, the better it is for your health to let it out. You don't let it out quiet. That's bad for you.
That sounds like I just went off on a tangent. If anybody wasn't paying attention on Twitch before we started this, nobody listens to it after, but we were talking about gaming chairs because Aki shit's squeaky, my shit's squeaky, and also I'm supposed to be propping my sheet up, and so like I decided while these two fuckers talked about burps, I was gonna go and like see how much a gaming chair with an actual recliner in it would be. And then
I didn't know they made them.
They do, but they also, this one also has vibration in the lower lumbar thing.
Oh, is it okay, just like a standard vibration massage rumble thing, or is it like tied to the game?
I don't think it's tied to the game, but that would tickle me if it was.
That'd be amazing.
It does have a USB connection port, though. I'm a little intrigued by this.
And how much is it?
$144.
That's not bad.
No, it's probably really cheap and questionably made. But I'm looking at it anyway because
I mean, for that price, it's kind of worth the gamble.
Yeah, it's Amazon, so if it sucks, they'll just give me my money back.
Is it Prime?
No, but it says that it is in stock and would be over here on June 3rd.
A chair.
I'm just worried about the shipping cost on a chair.
It is free shipping.
Oh, well, there
it's
you
just
go.
Not Prime.
Fuck it. Get it anyway. See if it's worth
it. They have white, red, and blue.
Blue. Ooh.
Yeah. Ew. I don't like
so blue. They have the flag. All right. Okay. That works.
America. Fuck yeah.
Rupier says the chair that they want is $1,200.
Yeah. And if I like got the kind of shit I want, that would be terrible. But I'm a horrible cheapskate. Yeah. That's my problem. And I can only justify so much to myself. And even like looking at it, $145, there was one I had seen last week and I was like, it's like $160 and it's Yeller and I'm down for that. And then like D's like, okay, so just order it. And I'm like, but no, I can't spend that kind of money. What are you talking about? Like my cheapskate side took over the moment he said, so buy it. I was like, no, what do you know? You just look at it.
I get that. My whole life is a cheapskate moment.
So now, to be fair, though, the other one wasn't going to be in stock until like the middle of July. So it's this one being a little available makes me feel a little different. But I still will probably get to like, I'll have it in my cart for a good 3 months before I push the button.
Yeah, see, the ones I look at are just your generic-ass computer chairs. That's it. Just the fucking standard office, shitty little office chair. That's the only ones I look at. I'm like, I just want one of those. It's fine. I'm good.
See, I have to get something that's going to support my back a little more.
No.
And I have to get something that's going to get my fucking feet up or my doctors are going to throttle me. So I have to do something.
You could always put your feet on top of the desk. I mean, that would have them up and you'd still be sitting in the chair. You just prop them up on the desk. That keeps them up. I mean, at least until you can get a better
chair. I don't know about you, but I'm old and fat and broken and I don't bend that way no more.
Well, lean the fucking chair back, you dingus.
Jesus. But then I won't be able to reach the mouse and keyboard.
Well, pull wireless keyboard.
Lap. I have one and I don't like it.
I don't like wireless either. I had to go to wireless after Butter started chewing all the goddamn fucking cables.
I have a wireless one that I use for the Xbox.
What was that again?
I have wireless. A wireless one that I use for the Xbox.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I
that was a new one. I haven't heard wireless before.
That's because I usually try to keep that one under lock and key because it is particularly bad. But I try.
I don't use wireless anything.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You should give it a go. There are some things that you should try wireless at least once.
Well, I have a couple. Never mind.
Diesel powered. That's how I do
it. Hand crank.
I'm not that old, Jesus.
No lie. A couple years ago, I had a hand crank charger for my DS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone sold a hand crank so you could just crank it and charge it manually if you wanted. And it worked.
And you are the fucking weirdo who would have bought that, too.
It was cheap. I don't have it anymore.
Why? I used to have it was cheaper because you sold it, or...
I probably got rid of it in a move.
Boy, they... Yeah, see, I want to hand...
You'd be amazed at the dumb shit that I own.
No, I really wouldn't. I expect some pretty dumb shit.
Just touché. Because
you collect fucking everything.
Okay, point taken.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you have Funko Pops, and I don't find very much dumber than Funko Pops. I fucking hate that shit.
I have a couple Funko Pops.
I do have Funko Pops.
I hate Funko Pops. I don't even know why, but I fucking hate them so much.
I want the Bob Ross one. I don't have it yet. But I have two from The Walking Dead, and then I've got the Crow.
I've got, let's see, who do I have? I have a blue Claptrap one that was a GameStop power-up reward exclusive. I have three wrestling ones, one of Finn Balor, one of AJ Styles, and then a John Cena one that is clear.
I know one of those people.
You can't see me. Ha ha ha. I have a Conan O'Brien one. I have Leonardo Ninja Turtle. I have a blue glow-in-the-dark Ezio Assassin's Creed one from GameStop. I have a Groot one, because Groot was the popular thing, and everyone had a Groot pop. I think I got that one from GameStop as well.
And that one probably looks kind of right, even, because Groot's weird looking. So I can get behind that one.
I have three Rick and Morty ones, Scrooge McDuck, and then all four of the Emperor's New Groove ones.
Hello, the Emperor's New Groove ones.
The Emperor's New Groove, they have Kronk, Yzma, Pacha, and Kuzco.
Ah. Pacha is the guy that helped Groot. The Kuzco, prince, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that movie. That is so underrated. It's so good.
I love Emperor's New Groove. I saw that they had pops for him. I'm like, fuck it. I'm buying the whole series of them. Because I love that's my favorite Disney movie. That and The Lion King. I love my Disney movies.
God, I don't even know what my favorite Disney movie is. There's so many.
I don't know, but we have a show that we got to take care of. We got some news to discuss. Let's see. Some games are leaving Game Pass. Sad news. Fuck. Yep, there's a handful that are departing. Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Hydro Thunder, Old Man's Journey, iDarb, and King of Fighters 98.
Mm. Okay, that's fine. I've played the ones out of that I wanted to. Never mind.
I need to play Brothers. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, you do. It's fantastic. And it's short. You can beat that in a day or two.
Yeah. I have no excuse. It's just, I keep forgetting.
The shock for me is Hydro Thunder. Isn't that first party Microsoft?
No idea.
But wasn't it a 360?
It was 360, yeah. It's just weird to see a first-party Microsoft game go off a Game Pass. Maybe it'll come back. Who knows? Because speaking of coming back, City Skylines came back to Game Pass this week.
It did, and I quickly reinstalled it.
Wasn't that just taken off, like, recently?
It comes and goes pretty regularly, yeah.
I don't understand the point of that. You just should leave it on there or take it off.
It might be contracts. It might be, we couldn't renew it in time, so we'll just get it in next go around. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
All the things behind the scenes that we don't know. But yeah, City Skylines joined along with the previously announced Fractured Minds and Alan Wake. And then we had another surprise this week. Golf with Your Friends surprise launch on the Game Pass.
Surprise!
Yay!
Is it bad that I'm more excited for Alan Wake being on there than anything else? That's like, out of all those ones listed, I'm like, everyone needs to fucking play Alan Wake so bad.
That's because you've never played golf with your friends
That's because it's golf. And golf is eh.
Yeah, but not, it's mini golf. Not
golf with your friends.
In the game, can I hit you with the golf club?
No, because there's no people. You're just the ball.
Oh.
But you could jump. They have a basketball mode. They have a hockey mode. You know what? We're going to talk about that later in the show. The bottom line is that Golf with Your Friends is on Game Pass. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, you need to download it now. And we need to play together because this game is absolutely incredible. And yeah, spoilers on the review for later.
Is it an easy 1K?
No. No. No.
I hear you, no time. I'm all for that one, too.
It is. No. Oh my god, just thinking of some of those achievements. No. In theory, they're not hard. I saw one website was like, yeah, it's a pretty straightforward list. Should be another easy platinum for you PlayStation fans. And I looked at the trophy list that they posted, and it's like, get under par scores on each of the courses.
Fuck that.
I got like 30 over par on one of the courses today.
Oh, that hurts my soul. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is not an easy game. It is not an easy, but it's fun as shit. Rupier says he'll play. Yeah, it's up to 12 players. We need to get an SML game night and just have like 12 people playing golf with your friends.
And it needs to be streamed and everyone needs to be drinking.
I am down.
I'm not allowed to drink.
Okay, well, then you don't have to drink.
Then take your pills beforehand so you're really, really high.
Take extra pills.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We just do like not double encourage dose taking it for the night. Extra pills on the SML podcast.
Hey, kids, take your parents' pills. There's nothing bad in there.
Stop that. Terms of service violations.
If there's any children listening to this show, turn this off now. How have you made it this far? What is your problem?
Well, they're obviously dysfunctional.
Please do not take any of your parents' pills. Send them to us instead.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Let's see, what other news? A couple of games have been added to the Nintendo Switch Online lineups, which is good. It's been a while. One game for the NES in Rygar was added, which, yay.
Okay. That sounds so familiar.
And then on the Super Nintendo, they got Operation Logic Bomb, which I don't know what the fuck it is at all. I've never heard of that game. So,
no idea.
And then Wild Guns, which is an awesome, awesome game. And then finally, Panel de Pon, which is the Japanese version of Tetris Attack or Pokemon Puzzle League. I'm guessing they couldn't get the rights to the Tetris name to have Tetris Attack on there, but still has the same incredible gameplay. Tetris Attack fans need to keep their eyes on Panel de Pon.
Okay.
So, good stuff. FIFA 20 is now in the EA Access vault. So EA Access fans have that to look forward to. I know you guys are excited about FIFA 20.
Just shitting myself. I'm so goddamn excited.
I know. The long rumored Mafia trilogy is official. Hey, we've been talking about this for months, it seems. There, how was that one?
Nah, give it about a 3 out of 10.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, really? I thought that was at least a 6. Jesus.
No, that's a weakling. No.
How?
I guess you had to be here. Mafia Definitive Edition is going to be launching August 28th, while Mafia 2 Definitive Edition is available now for $29.99, and Mafia 3 Definitive Edition is available now for $29.99. Previous Mafia 3 owners can download the upgrade pack for free, which is, it's basically all of the DLC for Mafia 3 is free to download.
Nice.
And you don't actually have to own Mafia 3.
No,
you can actually go on there and get it, get all the DLC right now.
Yep.
In case you ever decide to get Mafia 3.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I did.
They are also selling a trilogy that's going to have all three of the games for $59.99. I figured I was going to pick up Mafia Definitive Edition when it launches in August, and that one's going to be $30 or $40. Mafia 2 is $30. That's $60 right there. I didn't have Mafia 3 digital, so I just said fuck it and got the 3-pack.
Yeah, I might get the trilogy too, because I've only played Mafia 2 when it came with Games of Gold, I think it was. That was pretty fun. So I think I might get the trilogy just because I'd like to play him.
I would hold off for now. Mafia 2 seems to have some issues with the remaster. People were sharing videos of like some bad draw distance, something with the audio. Cutscene audio only comes out of the left channel for some reason. So it has some glitches. It might be worth waiting. Maybe wait for a sale. I'm sure we'll see one before Mafia, the first game, launches in August. I'm sure they'll drop a sale to try and entice people to pick it up.
Yeah, probably.
Cole, any thoughts on Mafia?
Nope, it's not my type of game. So
no,
but it's a shooty bang bang game.
Yeah, but just it's a little, I don't know, just not on my radar as something I'm interested in, but it's fine. I'm glad that, you know, people who enjoy it are getting some free DLC and Definitive Edition and all that. That's that fun. But for me, meh.
Aki, I bet you're just excited for all the Playboy pictures in the game.
Wait, what? I didn't know about that.
You didn't know about that?
Don't take screenshots of them and put them on your Xbox activity feed or you'll get banned.
Yes, you will.
That reminds me of the other game that they did that for. Which I never played. Damn.
Yeah, people like to take screenshots of things they shouldn't take screenshots of in these games. Like, hey, I'm going to the strip club in GTA and I'm going to share a gameplay video of it on my feed. Nothing can go wrong, right?
You can take the screen. You just can't put it on your activity feed.
Honestly, you should be able to set it to where, like, my feed is for adults only or whatever, or this stuff is for adults only, and share it that way. Because if they're selling the fucking game, you should be able to be like, hey, here's the game. That just, it makes sense to me.
No.
I don't know.
Are you moving the microphone or something?
No. Why?
Because it sounds like you're bumping the cord or moving the cord. I don't know. Anyway, Playful announced that new Super Lucky's Tale is going to be releasing on Xbox One and PS4 with more details to come soon. You might remember that Super Lucky's Tale was an Xbox One exclusive. And then new Super Lucky's Tale was basically a remastered version of that game with better features and upgrades and enhancements. And now that version is going to be coming back to Xbox and also jumping over to PlayStation.
Interesting.
Nifty.
So hooray for everyone. I'd imagine that'll be a $20 game, which, cool. If they try charging more than $20, I don't think it'll go over well, but we'll see.
I wonder, is it supposed to be in Game Pass or no?
I have no clue.
No clue.
Yeah, Microsoft's got nothing to do with it this time.
Yeah.
So.
Be interesting to see what happens there.
It'd be neat. Let's see. Phantasy Star Online 2 is finally launching on the PC on May 27th and will feature crossplay with the Xbox One version of the game. I have a bunch of friends who have already been asking me which ship my character's on because they want to join me and play.
Good. I'm glad you'll have people playing with
you. I know. It's exciting. I need to play more PSO2. I've had a lot of fun with it. I think my Bless Unleashed phase is completely over. I haven't touched it in like 2 weeks. Yeah, so it's time for PSO to consume me.
I really hope one day they make another PSU instead of a PSO.
Why? Yeah. I thought Universe was terrible compared to PSO.
It had a lot. You could do it all single player without any MMO stuff. Matter of fact, the first one was only single player. And that's what got me into it in the first place. I really liked it.
Mm.
PlayStation 2. I loved that game. You got to make your own custom character and everything. At the time, it looked good for the time. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. And it got me into it. And I was like, I need more of these. And then I got the second one. Then I lost like a 300-hour long save. And I was like, I'm not redoing this.
No, that sucks.
Yeah, that's what happens when you delete stuff without checking your, like, 8 memory cards.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Let's see. Devolver announced that Serious Sam 4 will be launching this August for Steam and, get this, Stadia.
What? Meh.
Steam and Stadia.
Devolver, what is you doing?
I'm amazed Stadia still fucking exists, to be honest.
Yeah.
I figured they would have washed their hands of that thing and closed it by now.
Nope, it's still going. And they confirmed that it will come to Xbox and PlayStation later in 2021. They said after the exclusivity deal is over, so there is an official exclusivity deal. Keeping it off of the other platforms. Devolver, why? Why are you doing this?
It's not worth it. I'm just glad it's a timed one only. I can at least get behind that it's just timed. It'll eventually get to us. I can accept that.
Yeah, it's like Final Fantasy VII Remake's eventually going to come to Xbox too, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
That it's somewhere else. At least
we'll eventually get to play it. Yeah. So. I will just accept that because it means I get to play something that I really want to play.
And hey, it's going to be on Steam as well, so at least PC gamers are going to have no problem with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stadia, I'm not sold on Stadia.
I don't think anyone is, because Stadia is kind of, what's the right term? dog shit. Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's dog shit because obviously I haven't used it that much. I did their trial that they had and I played grid and I couldn't deal with the input lag.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, and it doesn't matter what game you play. They all have a lot of it, apparently. Even with really good internet that most people don't have.
Yeah, but in a racing game, input lag is just, it's brutal. Oof. I can't even play Forza Horizon when my TV's not in game mode.
There's that big of a fucking lag? Jesus. Yeah.
It's enough.
That hurts my soul.
Yeah. Cole, your thoughts on Serious Sam?
Well, I mean, the deal is inked and out there, so it's not anything on SA isn't going to matter, but exclusivity is bad for gamers, and, you know, waiting sucks, but at least it is going to hit the Xbox this time around.
Yeah.
Because Devolver, much as I love their games, really goddamn bad for that. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, we'll get it eventually, but
yep.
Let's hope it's good.
At least we got my friend Pedro in a timely manner.
True. See, Devolver's warming up to Xbox.
They're working on it. They're trying.
Yeah, they're getting there. It's a slow process. We have to welcome them. We have to embrace them and not scare them away when things like this happen. And be like, you sons of bitches. No, come back. Please, come back. I scared the kitten again.
Sorry.
I'm just... when I think Serious Sam 4, I also turn around and think Duke Nukem Forever, and I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. So...
Nah, I don't know.
I hope it'll be good, but I don't know.
Who knows? Last bit of news I have is it's been revealed THQ Nordic has over 118 games in development with 69 yet to be announced.
Jeez, man.
How fucking crazy is that?
They have pulled no punches.
I didn't even realize they were that fucking big. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, THQ Nordic is pretty big.
It's an impressive comeback because it wasn't that long ago, realistically, where we were like, THQ is under and they're done. And then they've just busted back out of nowhere as THQ Nordic. And they're like, we have 500 million games. And we're like, yeah, cool. Give them up.
One of the running gags in the early days of this show was THQ was dead because I think it was on the first or second episode. That's when it happened. THQ went under. And now here we are all these years later, still doing this god-awful show, and
THQ Nordic is still out there just plugging away at that shit, man. They're just, look what we can do. And we're like, yeah, we like that. Keep it up.
See, if things could turn out good for THQ Nordic, maybe things will turn out well for us after all.
Okay, now you're asking for too damn much.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's the news I have. Anything either of you want to talk about?
I never keep track of news, so.
Helpful.
Yeah. Oh,
no, I'm useless.
Well, I was hoping Aki being here that she was just going to carry us through and have some kind of wonderful topic of conversation for us. But she went and let us down.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
There's no booby games coming out. What can I say?
You let us down, man.
Developers everywhere did. There's no.
I have a special pain right in my chest. It's all burning. And it hurts, and I'm sad.
I think that's called heartburn.
Oh, I gotta take my medicine.
I know, because I'm gonna be experiencing that later today. I had Taco Bell today.
Oh, my Lord. All right, so should we get to reviews?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we got a bunch to talk about. A lot of games coming out this week. A lot to talk about. First game to talk about tonight is called Saints Row the Third Remastered, developed by Volition and Spirisoft, published by Deep Silver, released May 22nd on Xbox One, PS4, and Epic Game Store for $39.99. This is your city. These are your rules. Remastered with enhanced graphics, Steelport, the original City of Sin has never looked so good as it drowns in sex, drugs, and guns. Take a tank skydiving, call in a satellite targeted airstrike on a Mexican wrestling gang, and fight against a highly trained military force by your lonesome in the most outlandish gameplay scenarios ever seen. Aki, tell us about Saints Row the Third Remastered.
It's Saints Row, and it's fantastic. I just want to put that out there first. It is fantastic. That's what you need to know. Go buy it. Everybody, buy it now. It's fantastic. You'll love it. Its graphics are increased quite a lot, actually, but it still keeps with that very cartoony look, so I don't know how much that really mattered to increase the graphics of it, because it still looks like a cartoon, because it doesn't matter how good you make a cartoon look, it still looks like a cartoon.
Well, I mean, the lighting effects have been improved and particle effects and stuff like that.
Yeah. It really shows in some of the cutscenes, especially. Some of the cutscenes look so much better than they used to. There has been one weird glitch that I've come across when it comes to that. Obviously, I made a girl character for obvious reasons, and I gave her purple lipstick because obvious reasons. Perfect color. What can I say? And the character's lips just kept cycling through colors in a number of the cutscenes and wiped the lipstick off once the cutscenes were done, which is really weird. There's another really good glitch in the game that's from back when it was on the 360. It allows you to customize non-customizable cars, and that's still in there, and that made me happy because I love that.
It's not a glitch, it's a feature.
Damn straight. It's a feature you have to figure out how to do. That's all.
Well, you're going on about this stuff. You didn't tell us what the game is about. You should probably do that first. Give us the rundown. What is Saints Row the Third?
Oh, you play as your own customized character. You're the boss of a street gang of fucking lunatics. And you do weird shit, like running around naked, for one. going into sex, to brothels, and beating people up with a dildo bat. So this is like Grand Theft Auto, but after it's had a whole bunch of shrooms. I love it. I'm not particular about Grand Theft Auto. I've never particularly liked it. I fucking love Saints Row because it is just the most goobery shit you'll ever play. No, I am not buying for everyone in chat, Scotty. Fuck off. You and your team have been attacked by the evil syndicate. Well, really, are they evil when you're a street gang killing people too? a more organized evil group called the Syndicate has decided they don't want you around anymore, so fuck you guys. And they go about trying to destroy everything you've built up. And then a military force decides to try and off you as you're starting to claw power back because you pissed off a lady senator by destroying a bridge that was in her husband's name. So everyone kind of just wants your ass dead, and you're all about fuck the police and fuck these people who want to fuck us. So you go about killing everything with mostly normal weapons until you hit things like laser guns and dildo bats, which are
always good.
Yeah, and the dildo bat, it's even better. It's called the Penetrator. Just so you know. you meet a few characters along the way that you add into your group. Oleg, I think is his name. I always forget how to pronounce his name. Zemos and the best redhead in gaming, Kinsey, who is very much into S&M. Just that has nothing to do with anything. I just figured I'd let you know that.
Oh, she's God.
Well, she is. What can I say? And yeah, the whole game is just you driving around, beating up the other gangs. There's three of them. There's the Luchadors, which are Mexican wrestlers. There's the Deckers, which are all these wannabe punks that are all hackers. And then you have the Morningstar, which is a bunch of hoes and stereotypical gang members. And then Stag, which is the military force that wants you dead, because military force. So, yeah, you're just going about kicking the shit out of them and getting your power back. That's really all there is to it. It's a pretty straightforward game.
Just blow shit up and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, besides the enhanced visuals, what else has been remastered?
Well, they've added another mode to the game called, what was it, Horde mode, as in, like, hose type Horde. And it's a Horde mode that you can play solo or with other people. I haven't really put any time into it because it's not the game. You don't seem to be able to bring your custom made character into it though, which kind of really sucks to me because I wanted to play through some of the story and then go into it with my character, and I could not find that as a character option. Instead, you just get a couple generic people as characters you can play as in it. It seems to be just the standard Horde mode where you beat the shit out of all the enemies that you do in the main game. And that, it also comes with all the DLC, which there's the Genki Bowl 7 DLC, which is just a little set of mini games that you can play in it that are based on a psychotic TV show where you kill people in mascot uniforms. It's weird. It's a really big thing in universe. It's so fucking weird. Like, there's one where you just go around shooting people. There's another one where you're inside a giant piece of yarn crushing cars and shit. It's fucking weird.
I love Saints Row. I want to put this out there right now that I already have my copy pre-ordered and it's waiting for me at midnight. So...
Good, so then we'll be able to play together.
So I have been very much looking forward to this one, but I need to know your verdict. $40 on this remake, what do you think of it?
Yes, yes. Now, go buy it now, pre-order it. I am biased as fuck. I love Saints Row so goddamn much. It's one of my favorite series. I fucking love it. So yeah, I think it's great. If you like Saints Row, you've probably already played this one, because this is the one, if anyone's played Saints Row and is like, I really like Saints Row, is usually because of Saints Row 3 or the third, whatever. So if you like Saints Row, you're going to like this. If you don't like Saints Row, then there's something fucking wrong with you. Buy it anyways, you shitbag.
Is there enough new content in here, and is there enough changes to warrant the upgrade for people who've already played it?
The graphics do look better. It plays a lot smoother to me anyways, but I haven't really found anything other than the Horde mode that they've really added. And honestly, the Horde mode, I don't really care about it. It's eh. But I was only going into this for the single player any damn way. That's where I get my enjoyment out of it. And they haven't really changed anything but making the graphics better. It looks like a cartoon still, because that's just the graphical style that the game is made in. It's not being hyper-realistic. That's not what they're going for. So I think it's worth it, but that it's going to be iffy to some people. If you don't have much money, wait for it to go on sale. If you have the money to blow and you like Saints Row, though, hey, fuck it. Why not? You get more achievements that way.
I'll admit, I was hoping this one was going to be $30 when it was announced. The $40 price tag kind of threw me off a bit, but yeah, I still like pre-ordered it.
I would like it to be cheaper just because it's... Yeah, they've increased the graphics, but I don't know how much that really changes things for anybody.
No.
I mean, because a cartoon is always going to look like a fucking cartoon. But it is the same great game. So if you like it, I go for it. I would have liked it to be like $20 or $30 just because I know way back when they got a Game of the Year edition on the 360, and it, when I bought it, it was only like $20 or $30. So I would have liked this one to be the same, but what can you do? It is what it is.
Well, I'm still looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, we'll play together. And because I haven't even beaten one third. Well, no, I've just barely passed one third point in the game, and I've already maxed my character out. It's what I do. It's what I do. I was like, I'm going to go around and I'm going to do everything except for the main story.
Yeah, that's me in Saints Row.
So I maxed out. I have all the weapons maxed out. I have all the vehicles maxed out.
Good Lord.
Like, yeah, I might want to finish Act 2 now.
No, it's fine. You can be on Act 2 forever.
I'll probably be on it for another like 10 hours because I'm doing the DLC now instead of finishing the main game.
Sounds about right.
I really want to just hold off so I can keep playing it.
Well, you can play as much as you want because you're done. So I guess we will let you get going. Aki, thanks as always for being here and doing your thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any final words before we let you get going?
Kinsey's really fucking hot, but she punches you in the face when you decide to have sex with her.
Yeah, she does.
That I don't know if that turns me on or scares me, so.
win-win. All right, talk later. To you later.
I worry about you people.
You really? Why?
I don't. It just sounded good at the time.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Monster Train, developed by Shiny Shoe, published by Good Shepherd Entertainment, released May 21st on Steam for $24.99. Monster Train is a strategic roguelike deck-building game with a twist. Set on a train to hell, you'll use tactical decision-making to defend multiple vertical battlegrounds. With real-time competitive multiplayer and endless replayability, Monster Train is always on time. Cole, I know you were sold when it was roguelike deck building.
Strategic roguelike deck building. I can't imagine why you would have thought of me with this one. Yeah, because that's pretty much all I play these days, given the opportunity.
Yep.
So Monster Train is pretty much a shoo-in for something that's going to appeal to me. And in a lot of ways it does. It has a lot of the same roguelike deck building mechanics that I enjoy from Pirate Outlaws and Slay the Spire, Cardpocalypse and games like that. It does have some interesting quirks. You are on a train. You know, imagine that.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, choo-choo bitches. But you are on a train and you are traveling through the circles of hell. So as you go into a circle, you get to choose if you're going to go left or right. And each side will have different perks to going that direction. So if you go left, it may have extra coins, or you might be able to recruit new monsters to fight for your side, or you might have a shop where you can upgrade your cards. You might go right, and there might be one of my favorite random events that can pop up is where you will like roll up with your train to a cavern, and it literally has you like slide the boxcar door open, and it'll say, you know, it'll have some kind of event where you can choose to pay with blood to get some kind of reward, or pay with gold for this kind of reward, or are you going to explore, or are you going to stay on the train? That's all in text. You don't actually ever leave the train. But that's pretty standard for a game of this type, to have those type of choose your adventure type of events. Once you actually get to the battle for the Circle of Hell that you are on, then you get a cutaway view of your train car. Now, the train car is broken into four levels. So there are three levels where you can put monsters on the left-hand side of the screen, and they will be your protective army. And the fourth level has your pyre, your pyre of hell. So this is basically like the heart of your train. If that gets fucked up and loses all of its health, game over. It's roguelite. Do that shit again. You tried, but fuck off. So what you need to do is strategically place the monsters that are on your team on those three available tiers, those three levels of your train car. Enemies will start at the bottom on the right hand side, and they will come in. Sometimes you will get some tricky little fuckers who can fly, because they are angels, and they may come in at the second or third tier. So you don't want to like put all your eggs in one basket and having all of your fighters at the bottom, because if something does come in at the top, it would be unprotected and just they go straight to your pyre. Your pyre does at least fight back, though. If it gets attacked, it does retaliation damage. So it's not like it's an instant dead if something gets up there. But your goal is ultimately, if you can't at least kill the wave of enemies and the accompanying boss before it gets to your pyre, you want it to be low enough that it's not there. You want their health to be low enough that the retaliatory damage is going to kill them, and they're not going to do too much damage to the pyre in the process. You have a set amount of action points in this game. They're called embers, and you have your cards, which have an ember cost that you'll need to, take into consideration when you're deciding which cards that you're going to use. So most of what you're going to have when you start off are just like little regen cards that are only going to heal you for 2 or 4 points. Some of them only heal you for 1. It seems like a really low amount until you realize that a lot of the characters from certain clans only have like 1 or 2 hit points anyway. And so the only way to keep them alive and keep them fucking shit up is to build up their armor. So that's where strategy comes into play, and you go, okay, now I've got this character on the field. How do I keep them alive so that they can fuck up the angels and not me? and that rolls into where you place them in the train car as well. Because you have to take into consideration, this enemy or this character only has like 2 hit points, but they got 50 armor, you know? At one point I had upgraded one of my characters to where they had 50 hit points and were doing 100 hit.
Good lord.
So their damage was just insanely high, but I had constantly upgraded them every time I got to a place where I could buy an upgrade. You can upgrade each card 2 times, and I was like, fuck that, I'm gonna give them, you know, either make them hit like a dump truck or make them able to take the hit of a dump truck. And then when I got to a point where I was like, oh, I have the option to clone any card I want, I'm cloning that chunky motherfucker.
You know who I would clone?
Who are you going to clone?
I would clone Root Beer is My Jam, because they just subbed for the 13th month at tier 2.
Tier 2. What a good
tier
bean.
2. Pernell, what do you think of that?
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Pernell.
Terrible. But yeah, all in all, the combat itself is a unique take on the deck building, in that, you know, you have the multi-tier approach to it, and the enemies gradually work their way up through the tiers, and, you know, survive or get fucked, either one or the other, as they're working through before they get to actually take any major damage on you. I actually had a really good relic, that's not the term they use for them in this game. And I don't remember what the actual one was, but I remember I saw it and I went, oh, that's a relic. Because I've played Slay the Spire and Pirate Outlaw so much that just any time there's a power-up ability, I'm like, yeah, relic, let's go. I know what you are. I had a really good one where, like, every time I killed an enemy, I automatically got 5 health back to my pyre of hell. And I was like, nothing can kill me now. And then I was so disappointed because I got to the 8th circle of hell and died. I just didn't realize how low I was.
No.
Because I put my characters in a bad order on one line. And the boss for that wave got to the pyre with 900 hit points. And the pyre only does like 40. No matter how much you upgrade that fucker, it's not going to do much. And so it was just dead before it can knock out 900 hit points. And I was so sad. I was like, this is it. I was having the run of the gods. And then I fucked it because I put one character in the wrong spot.
That'll do it.
It's very easy to fuck up if you're not paying attention. There is a whole convoluted world built around these characters. You get to pick from 2 different clans when you start, and as you play more, you unlock different clans to work with. It's neat that you can mix them together, because a lot of times in these deck builders like this, you pick one type of character, one type of class, and you're running with it. Like, if I were playing Pirate Outlaws, the equivalent would be, oh, I picked the Swordmaster, and that's all I've got. Whereas in Monster Train, it's like, no, you pick these 2, so you get to mix and match their cards and use them regardless of what class you're actually using. Which is a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, overall, what do you think of the game for $25?
I think it's a solid buy it if this is your type of game. If it's not something that you're sure you're already going to be into, I think there's enough other games that are a little easier to start with. There is a bit of a difficulty involved if you weren't already aware of, like, how to build decks and really know what you're looking at when you're looking at a card game like this, then it would be difficult to start with Monster Train.
No.
And that would be the only reason I'd be like, you know, for anybody. But if you already at least have your foot in the water and you're like, I don't know if I'd like it, then yeah, you're probably going to be down for it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, next game to talk about is called Golf with Your Friends, developed by Blacklight Interactive, published by Team 17 Digital, released May 19th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $19.99. Why have friends if not to play golf with your friends? Nothing is out of bounds as you take on courses filled with fast-paced, exciting, simultaneous mini golf for up to 12 players. Cole, did you play this at all or no?
Nope.
Oh,
I know. So I know. I'm in the doghouse.
I'm so sad.
I really wanted to. I have it installed. I even mentioned to Studa to install it. I'm just like, golf, though.
Well, let me convince you why you should have this game installed and why you should play.
Tell me why I should go from, hey, that's installed, to, hey, I want to play this, as somebody who does not do sports balls.
Because it's goddamn fun.
You're going to have to give me a little more than that.
So, Golf with Your Friend, Awesome Prime is in chat saying that I cheat at golf games because I kicked his ass on the forest course on Golf with Your Friends. But Golf with Your Friends is mini golf. across 11 different courses that range from, well, let me see here. They have Forest, Haunted, Oasis, Space Station, Museum, Pirate Cove, Volcano, Ancient, Twilight, Candyland, and cool little crossover here, Worms.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And there's a spot on the course select screen for a 12th course that very much looks like The Escapists.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that one. I don't know if that's going to be a free update or DLC, but I'm sure we'll find out in the future. But yeah, there's 11 courses that you could play on. You start off, you pick whatever color ball you want. As you play through the game, you could unlock different hats and toppers that you can equip your ball with. It's just cosmetic. Has a visual effect on the game. And then you play through 18 holes of some of the weirdest, craziest courses of mini golf that I have ever seen in my life. The things start off simple enough on the forest course where there's just like straight shots and some banks and, you know, go through the rolling tunnel and drop down the hole and go into the hole. Fairly basic stuff, but then you have a space station where there's gravity switching and, what else? The volcano where shit's burning. You're in a oasis where you're jumping over pits and bouncing off of fucking pyramids and stuff like that. And it's just an overall ridiculous round of mini golf. And for most people, that would be enough. That would be a good reason to sit down and play this game. But the big draw with this game is that it is online for up to 12 players simultaneously. No sitting there while everyone takes their turn. Everyone goes at the same time. And to make things even crazier, one of the options in the game allows collision.
Really?
So if you have 12 players with collision on, imagine how hectic and insane a match can get.
Wow.
Yes, this is a reason to have a headset in a game again. This is the first time since Shell Shock Live that I have played with randoms online. I played with randoms. I jumped into other people's games and I played mini golf with them. What? Because it is fan-fucking-tastic.
randoms.
Root Beer's My Jam says cross-platform. To my knowledge, it is not cross-platform. At least it is not cross-play with PC. I don't know if the consoles cross-play with each other, but to my knowledge, there is no cross-play with this one, unfortunately. At least not right now. Which, it shouldn't be that big of a deal because I was playing before we even started the show tonight and there were dozens of games available, because of another big perk with this game. Golf with Your Friends is available launched on Xbox Game Pass. So if you're a listener of this show, you already know how much we love Game Pass. And if you're a listener of the show, chances are you have an Xbox. So you need to get Game Pass. You need to download Golf with Your Friends. You need to add me on Xbox. My username is Joe Camnet. You need to send me an invite and we need to play this game together. The game normally is $20. You're getting 11 courses. You're getting a handful of different course variants between the hockey, between the party mode, between the basketball where you have to jump through a hoop, which, oh my God, it's ridiculous. You have all the different modifiers, all the different unlocks, and this game is about replaying the holes and learning all the secrets and all the tricks so that you could beat someone like Awesome Prime and they'll think that you're cheating when you're just really good at the game, or at least you're really good at one course.
At one.
I will take my one good course. There is a downside. Achievement hunters are going to hate this game.
Yeah.
Yes. The achievements in the game include beating the par score on each of the courses. Some of them are going to be ridiculously brutal to do. Like, there's... Oh, man. The par scores are going to take a lot of practice. That's probably the only downside I could really think of is learning the game is going to take time. It's going to take patience. But when you know you're on this hole, this course, you got to go to this spot at this much power and you get a hole in one or you land like right next to the hole, ready for an eagle or an albatross. It's just a really good feeling.
Yeah.
So have I convinced you? Are you going to try golf with your friends?
I guess I'll try one game. We'll see what happens.
Everyone else, I say buy it.
Nice.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Super Mash, developed and published by Digital Continue, released May 8th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $19.99. Super Mash is a game that makes games. Mash together two game genres to get a completely unique game each time, then challenge your friends to see how they do. Cole, we chatted about this one last week on the show.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the game?
I think that, in general, the concept of Super Mash is really fucking cool. So, when you play the campaign, you are presented with a story of siblings, and they run a shop, and the shop is about to shut down, and they're looking for something to kind of save the shop, and they are given
Playwise?
Is it? No, it's play and then starts with a T, and I don't remember what it is. Ah, fuck. Anyway, they're given a machine that can play two cartridges at once, and the cartridges are different game genres. So when you put two of the cartridges into the machine, it creates a whole new game every time from the two genres that you choose. This means that you get to create some really insane game combinations. I think the one I mentioned during the interview, which was probably the first one I did, but it was also probably the most unruly, was I mixed action adventure with shmups just to fucking see what would happen. And like, I was weirdly inundated with fighter jets coming across my screen every so often while I was smashing into plants with a boomerang. So everything about the game, every time you load a new game, everything about it is randomized. The character you're playing as, kind of weapons you have, a good glitch and a bad glitch.
And when it's play type.
Play type. I know it was a T. I couldn't spit it out. I wanted to keep saying play box, and I think that was because I remember saying play box would have been funnier because it would have been PlayStation and Xbox mashed together.
Yeah.
Probably some kind of trademark involvement there. But anyway.
I just hit quick mash and it popped up stealth machine gun with a question mark. That's the name of the game it gave me. Stealth machine gun?
Everything about it will be completely randomized. That's a plus and a negative because sometimes the shit that it comes up with, you just can't fucking do anything about it.
Yeah.
You just stuck. It is what it is. And sometimes they're completely unbeatable. And the game acknowledges that like, look, sometimes it's just the nature of it and you might not even be able to beat it.
Yeah,
and
there's a warning when you first play the game that's like, you're going to run into things that are super easy, super hard. That it might be impossible. You never know.
I did actually have one come up where, I needed, I think it was a key or some kind of item, and it was like on a floating platform, and I had no way to get to it. It's just what it was, and I couldn't beat it, and I just had to let it go and start another one. I was like, all right, well, that sucked. Bye. And that's the nature of it. It wouldn't be so bad, but if you're playing a longer form game, because you get to choose the length of the game.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would just go for something that was kind of easy and short just so I could try out as many combinations as possible. But if you did pick out a longer form game and you sat down and committed to, I'm going to get through this shit, then you get to the end and you realize, oh, Can't get to that anyway. So I did it all that for nothing. That is heartbreaking. Even though you know it's potential for it to happen, it's still really frustrating to just put in the time commitment to one of your mashups and then find out that you can't do it anyway. I'm horribly boring, and I realized really quickly that I just liked matching up platformers. Platformer and platformer gives me another platformer, but sometimes you get some weird, you know, kind of glitch involved in it. I got really screwed on a platformer once, because like I said, you get a good glitch and a bad glitch every time. And I had set up two platformers and I got a bad glitch where every four jumps, I would leave a ball of fire. I would leave a ball of fire. Tired tonight. And so obviously it's a platformer and I had to jump, but this made going back and getting to different areas fucking impossible. And I did it for maybe 10, 15 minutes and I kept dying on my own fire trail. And then I just was like, fuck it. I give up. I can't do this one anymore. I'm not ever going to beat it because there's just fire everywhere. That's kind of cruel. But it's also the nature of the game. And it's part of the fun of it. Like, fuck's going to pop up. You don't know. In another action adventure one, I got some kind of weird glitch where hitting the bushes gave me an increase in damage. So before I saw an enemy, I just go whack a bush and then I could kill the enemies in one hit. Just as it can make it impossibly difficult, it can also make it ridiculously easy.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, it's all up in the air. It's a toss of the dice. There's a great little story that ties into all of it, but really what matters is the type of games that you come up with. I do like that you can save them. If I'm not mistaken, you can actually get a code for them too, and then tell that code to your friends and they should be able to play it as well.
Yep.
So, I didn't try giving anybody any of my codes. I don't want to play your shit. It's probably not as good as my platformer plus platformer. Okay. And so, get fucked. I didn't try that. But I think that that's neat, that if you come up with a wild enough combination that you go, man, somebody should see this, then you can pass it along. It's multiplayer without having multiplayer. it's a lot of fun in that. But yeah, I think it's really, the art style in it is really good. And it's up in the air as to, you know, whether or not it's easy or hard, but that's a challenge that you know going into it.
Yeah.
So you can't hold it against it.
Yeah. So overall, $20, your thoughts?
I think at $20, I'm going to go with a really solid try it. Not, like I said, I know that the nature of it being that sometimes it's just too hard is part of it. But it does kind of take away, like I said, when you're doing a longer game and then you get fucked on it out of nowhere, that can be really disappointing. Yeah. And so that, you know, I could see people being a little disappointed, be like, I paid $20 and I can't even beat this shit. So, so I can understand that. I got frustrated a few times. And it does kind of zap the fun out of it a little, even though you know it's a possibility it could happen.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I give it a very recommend to try it. I think $15, this would have been an immediate purchase. Even at 20, mm-hmm. it's still a really good value. If you're always looking for something new to play, this is going to be up your alley because it's always giving you something new to play.
I have to point out to the humor that they couldn't use Metroidvania.
Yes.
So they had to call them Metrovanias.
Yes.
Two letters made all the difference.
That works, though.
Yeah, it does. You know what it's supposed to be.
Oh, of course. All right, next game to talk about is called Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe, developed and published by Devecki Studios, released May 19th on Steam for $12.99, Adventure in the strange town of August with local radio hosts and secret lovers Poe and Monroe as they encounter six unique mysteries on and off the air. Direct the banter and the action as they fend off a nightmare stalker who just won't let go, a vengeful ghost looking for everlasting that grants wishes, and more. But can you keep Poe and Monroe together and alive? Cole, tell us about it.
Okay, so there's going to be a little tiny spoiler. If you have not played The Shape-Shifting Detective and you care about a subplot in The Shape-Shifting Detective, now's the time to shut this shit down and don't listen to me. Give me, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. Check back in then. See if I'm still blabbering. spoiler alert, I'll still be blabbering. But there's your spoiler warning. From here on out, I'm going to talk about Dark Knights of Poe and Monroe. So Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe is a FMV game. It's an interactive. I would use the term interactive movie, but they've actually taken the route with Poe and Monroe of breaking it down into six episodes. So it's more like an interactive television show as opposed to a feature length movie. There are pros and cons to this that I'll get to, but there are six episodes and they take roughly 20 to 25 minutes each to get through. Things carry out on screen. It's, you know, it's a movie, video, however you want to phrase it. But, it revolves around the town of August, which is a middle of nowhere town that was part of the Shape-Shifting Detective. In the Shape-Shifting Detective, we met Poe and Monroe, and they were the local radio hosts for the town of August. So Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe follows those two characters specifically. Now, the spoiler that I mentioned before that you find out as a subplot in Shape-Shifting Detective is that Poe and Monroe are engaged in an affair. Poe is married, not so happily. At one point, he even refers to it as a Schrodinger's marriage. but he's still carrying on the relationship with Monroe. The whole aspect of the two carrying on an affair makes it really hard to root for them as a couple. As characters, I find it incredibly easy to be like, Monroe fucking rocks. She just rules everything and I adore her. But Poe is just a smarmy bastard. I think that's a testament to what a good job the character does, or the actor does at playing the character, though. Like, Poe is just not a redeemable character. He's just a shit. And everything about him just makes you go, why are you such a shit? there were moments where you had options to decide to save him or not, and I'm just like, nah. He's fine. It was like, oh, you know, do you want to kick him in the nuts or do you want to No. If the option is kicking him in the nuts, we're always kicking Poe in the nuts. So that was always my go-to, was like, I didn't want their relationship to survive. I wanted Monroe to figure out she was the badass that she is. And that very much clouded my judgment and my decision making when I was getting them through the episodes. Each episode, because it takes like an anthology approach, each episode covers a different situation. Another spoiler, I guess, if you can't figure it out from the Shape-Shifting Detective's title, is that there are supernatural elements in this town at play. And they carry that over into Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe in some really creative ways. There's an episode focused on time traveling and a character whose entire job is just to clean up the shit when it hits the fan after a time traveling mishap. And he's just really big into the radio show, and well, fuck, he's got to find a way to save Poe and Monroe from the shit hitting the fan because he wants to keep listening to their show. There's some really interesting, like Mulder and Scully kind of moments that weave in together, where one of them very clearly doesn't believe and the other one very clearly does. And so you're making decisions on, you know, are you going to accept the supernatural elements that are in the game, or are you going to be like, no, it's fine. There's a logical explanation. There's a lot of humor in the way that they interact as well, even though you know you're doing something that maybe you shouldn't be. There's in one episode, without giving too much of the detail around it so it doesn't spoil it, you have an option to continue taking phone calls, but every phone call mysteriously drops. And they're like, are you going to take all 9 calls, or are you going to stop taking calls at some point? And as you, if you take the route,
tell me you took them all.
I took all 9 calls.
Nice. Was it an achievement?
Yeah.
Of course.
And they were like, what is wrong with you? Why are you just sacrificing these people? And I'm like, I don't know. I just had to, I'm committed to it now. I've done pressed the button like 4 times. We got to keep going. In another episode, you had a choice of whether or not to believe in a past life regression that was going on, and Monroe was going to be hypnotized, and like, you know, the hypnotist is like, you know, you feel your arm sinking down. And so you have a choice to click Monroe's nose that's itching or hold your hand still. And you can just keep over and over and over itching her nose and never go into the past life sequence unless you decide to hold still. And I did it a good maybe 12 times. Just scratching her nose just to see how long it would let me go at it. There was a lot of really great moments like that. There's also a little bit of fan service. Some of our favorite characters from the Shape-Shifting Detective return for Dark Nights with Poe and Monroe. And I was actually streaming something I don't ever fucking do. But I wanted to get to show off Dark Nights with Poe and Monroe because I love this series so much. And I had already played through it once and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to play it again just so I can see some different stuff and show it off. And there was one sequence that was particularly a favorite among the people that were watching me where Miss Gallagher, who runs the guest house and is portrayed by the very lovely, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong. Aislinn? Aislinn? I don't know. A-I-S-L-I-N-N. And her last name is literally Death. D-E apostrophe A-T-H. But she portrays Miss Gallagher. And she's a gorgeous actress. She's very talented. I love her character of Violet. She does such a good job. You had the option to like play up some fan service of her interacting with Monroe straight up to like the boob shot and everything. And I'm sitting here going, ah, fuck, I'm going to get banned on Twitch and I'm not even a Twitch streamer. This is going to get me. But everybody was having a really good time with it. And because I was familiar with the characters from the Shape-Shifting Detective, I was getting a good chuckle out of it because I knew I had already played it and I knew where it was going to go. And I was laughing the whole time. But it's really great how they fed into that and played it up. It was really good. I think that's a pretty solid way to round up the entire anthology of episodes. I would say that if I had to bitch about anything, it's that there were times where not all of the stories seemed as neatly wrapped up at the end of them as I would have liked. And I think I get why they went with the little like 20 minute or so time span to to give them that TV feel. Yeah. But I would have liked for them to have been even just an hour per episode, I think would have gave them more time to really fill the stories out more rather than constantly like, okay, I've just gotten into these characters and what the fuck, we're at the end. Shit, next one. Now I'm into this character and oh, never mind. Here we go to it again.
I right can only imagine how complex that would be to have such a long story, have so many branching paths.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Well, but then you look at like the shape-shifting detective, and I want to say that it was like 5 to 6 hours per playthrough.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty lengthy. So, I mean, it's a thing. It wouldn't be an unusual thing. I know that the same studio, I'm pretty sure the same, yeah, the same studio did the Infectious Madness of Dr. Decker, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. That is one I have not played.
No, we got to fix that.
I really got to fix that, especially because the Shapeshifting Detective has an episode that calls back to it. And I knew that that was the callback because I've seen like the trailers and stuff for Dr. Decker. And so I was familiar with like the setting and how it played and everything, even though I hadn't played it. It's rubbing salt in the wound that I haven't played that one yet. And I'm going to have to find a way to get it. it's killing me now, man. I have to have more. I do hope that this is, just a start. I would love to see more of these, even if they had stuck with like, excuse me, the 20-minute, you know, 20-minute per episode formula. I'd still just love to have more of these little segments. You know, I want to see them carry on.
Well, as
I need more Poe and Monroe.
Well, as it stands, this collection for $13, what do you say?
It's a steal, and it's really enjoyable. I know that when you say, oh, there's six segments, and they're about 20 minutes per segment, but you're going to play through most of them at least three separate times if you want to see all of the different segments and all the different little clips and how they put together. And I would definitely recommend replaying them. I'm the kind of person that gets stressed out when I've got to replay something, unless it changes fundamentally. That's why I like roguelikes so well. I have a photographic memory. I don't like to rewatch movies. I don't like to read books. Once I've seen it, that's it. I'm done. But I enjoy the Vecchi FMVs because you can play through them multiple times and there's enough shakeup in the options and how they lead through the story that you always feel like you're getting new information or something different is happening.
Yeah.
So that more than makes up for the short run time.
Well, sounds good. Hopefully it comes to console.
I believe Q3 is nice. When we're supposed to get it. So cross your fingers because I will more than happily play it again. I really enjoy these games.
Awesome. All right. Yes. Next game to talk about is called Real Mist, developed and published by Cyan Worlds, released May 21st on the Switch for $19.99. The surrealistic adventure that will become your world. Journey now to an island tinged with mystery. Only you can unravel this chilling tale. Our friend Serlina covered this one, and this is what she's got to say. Greeting SML friends and fam, it's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Real Mist Masterpiece Edition, developed by Cyan Games for the Nintendo Switch. Real Mist is a remaster of one of the most iconic puzzle games of all time. The original Mist came out in 1993, which I'm sure a significant amount of you were not alive to experience. Now you have the opportunity to do so let's get started with the review. I need to offer you guys a warning. When I say this game doesn't give a fuck about you, I mean it. You are literally dropped into a world, an age as it's called, with no idea of why you're there and what to do. The game forces you to think, and even if you aren't into that sort of thing, you will not have... The game forces you to think, and if you aren't into that sort of thing, you will not have fun. If I could speak, that would be really, really handy right now, because I'm doing a podcast. That'd be handy, right?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to be honest. Even if you are into thinking as I am, you still aren't going to have a lot of fun when starting out. There's precisely one clue, maybe two, for each puzzle you encounter. You won't know which puzzle you have to do first. You'll spend a ridiculous amount of time wondering what the switches will do. You'll have to touch everything just to see what you can manipulate. And once you find a thing, then you have to figure out how to use the thing you've just figured out you could touch. It's infuriating, demeaning, insulting, and one of the most satisfying game experiences I've ever had in my life. It shouldn't be, but it is. I know all of that sounds awful, and you may wonder why you put yourself through that stress. The payoff is so good and addictive. The narrative and story are woven into the puzzles, so as you figure things out, you get a bit more of the story. When I figured out the first puzzle by random touching something that turned out to be a door, my heart swelled with pride, as I had been wandering around for an hour touching other things but to no avail. Then I was like, I must touch all the things in the correct order now. But enough about that. Let's talk about the way it looks. Real Masterpiece Edition is definitely a step up from the original game in the looks department, but it still won't win any awards. The graphics are decent, but not over the top. Still, if you're using 1993 as a reference, you might think it's Da Vinci worthy. Now, the level design is terrific and definitely gives me Salvador Dali type vibes. When taking it at face value, it's weird as hell. Everything is connected in each age, and it all makes sense when once you figure out how it works. Hell, if you're really smart, you can see how each age is connected to each other, but there's some real rabbit hole knowledge right there. Now, I did have a couple of issues with the game, some of which should have been addressed before the game is out. First, don't play this on handheld, play it on the TV. You will kill your neck bones. Second, there is some talking in the game, but you can't really understand what's being said to you. The voice quality is so ridiculous and grainy and completely unacceptable. It's not hard to put subtitles in here and offer deaf and hard of hearing gamers a chance to experience this historic game. I offer nothing but harsh shame for this oversight, which I agree, every game should have subtitles.
Yes.
Finally,
I have bitched about that before.
Yes, we have. So it is right to be bitched about here. Finally, I don't know if it's my Joy-Cons or not, but navigating was tricky. Use the left stick to move and the right stick to look around, but the right stick is so sensitive, I'd move it just a bit and it would veer wildly, making it difficult for more precise puzzle solving. I will say that the game does support touchscreen that can be switched on and off, and that helped me out, but I'd be interested to know if anyone else is having issues. Real Miss Masterpiece Edition is available on the eShop right now for $19.99, and should you buy it? Yes, you should, as long as you paid attention to my initial warning. The game is not for everyone. It forces you to do things you wouldn't normally do in a game, like take notes. However, if you're patient and persistent and you get that first puzzle under your belt, the first age complete, you're going to want more, and Myst will be more than happy to give it to you.
Awesome.
What'd you think of that? Did that tickle your fancy? You said you're a Myst fan.
Yeah, I'm a little sad I didn't take it.
I tried. I offered it to you.
I know.
You got to get over that fear of the Switch.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a thing. I would have snapped it up in a heartbeat if it had been on Xbox or even Steam.
Well, maybe in the future.
Yeah.
But next game to talk about is called Concept Destruction, developed by Thin Ice Games, published by Rattlake Games, released May 19th on PS4, 20th on Xbox One, 22nd on the Switch for $4.99. Concept Destruction is all about driving miniature cars made of cardboard and crashing them into each other to earn points from destroying them. Cole, sounds simple. What else is there?
Literally nothing else.
All right, $5. What's your verdict?
I mean, you know, I wish I could sit here and be like, oh, there's this and there's that. There's not. You have little cardboard cars, and I will say it's super adorable, okay?
Yeah, I love the visuals in this game.
You have little cardboard cars, and your arenas are completely made out of cardboard and taped together with electrical tape and painter's tape. And you got a little bit of wood here and there. And when you get really unruly, they've used some balsa wood to make part of the tracks or the arena or whatever you want to call it. You know, everything is like sketched and doodled on. It's so fucking adorable. I see you, root beer is my jam, and I'm flipping you the bird with my big swollen fingers. but everything is really super cute. Look, I'm 100% biased here. We say Rattlake Games, I have a general understanding of what that means, okay? And I'm not normally rooting for Rattlake Games to have top-of-the-line graphics. So I'm very surprised by the creativity and the adorableness involved here. And I'm going to harp on that because I'm an artist and that's what I do. Gameplay is super simple, though. It is a demolition derby. Again, though, I was really drawn, like, how much effort put into something. It's such a simple concept. Like, drive around, smash into other cars, last man standing wins, mm-hmm. right? But there was so much effort put into how this looks that literally as you're just driving around in your little cardboard car, you have a battery in the back. And if you lose your battery, you're fucked. But you can pick up other people's batteries. Which you should, because there's an achievement for that. And, but just if you hold down the boost button, your tires spin and little chunks of cardboard fibers go flying out from your tires. So fucking adorable. If you smash into something, your little doors start flapping in the wind. And it's just so cute. My youngest was watching with me, number three, and she looks at me and she goes, "Am I old enough to play this?" I was like, "Yeah." And she goes, "Good, because this looks fun." And I'm like, "Well, I've never heard my kids say that when I'm playing a Rattalica game. They usually look at me with disgust and they go, what are you doing?" And I'm like, getting easy achievements. I don't know. I will say, though, I wouldn't put this on the radar as easy achievements. It takes some effort. You got to win.
Yeah, but it's not that hard. Did you go into the options at all?
Are there options to make it easier to win?
Yeah, there are.
Really? Oh, because I was getting fucked up, and I was like, well.
Yeah, you could put your armor resistance to times 10 and keep the opponents on times 1.
Okay, so
steamroll everything.
Then I'm going to tease it later tonight. If you can tease it, that's great. If you're playing as its standard, like, out-of-the-box presentation, it's kind of tough. I was surprised. I thought I was just going to roll in there and smash it up and be like, thanks for the achievements. Thanks for being adorable. See you next week. But no, out of the box, that is not going to be the case.
Yep, you either got to earn it or you got to go into the options and cheese it.
Oh, I'm about to cheese the fuck up out of that. Number three was super tickled. There was a little tiny yellow car, and it was like two wheels, and it just is zooming around with its engine poked up in the air, and it's like, and she's just giggling the whole time like a maniac.
Yeah, and one of the best things is you have to take the giant green car and destroy the tiny yellow car for an achievement.
Poor little yellow car.
Yeah, they had fun with the achievements on this one. There's some unique achievements on there. It's a fun as hell game. I had a blast with this game. Carnage said Wreckfest Cardboard Edition, and I can agree with that.
Oh, I haven't played Wreckfest, so I can't.
Oh, you should play Wreckfest.
There's a lot that I should play.
Joel. Yeah, there is. But $5 on Concept Destruction, what do you think?
I give it a buy it. In a lot of cases, I'd be like, fuck it, why not? But I think this is solid and fun enough and goofy enough that you can be like, yeah, this is good. This is $5.
I agree. Absolutely worth the $5. One of the highlights of Rattalica, I would say. I had a blast with this one, and I hope Concept Destruction 2 comes along, and I hope it has online.
Okay, now you're getting unruly.
I am.
It would be great if it did, but you're getting unruly.
I would pay $10 for that.
Had any Rattalica games that had online?
I don't know. Probably.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't remember any.
Thinking is hard.
Yeah.
But I think if any game, any Rattalica game would have online, I would love to see them either implement it into Concept Destruction or work on a sequel that has online, because I think this is the kind of game that deserves online play.
Yeah.
All right, we got one last game to talk about tonight. That is called The Taller I Grow, developed and published by Newbull Studio, released May 22nd on Xbox One for $4.99. The Taller I Grow is a puzzle platformer where you must connect to objects in your environment to become taller and solve puzzles. You play as Bip, a small square that goes on a journey of growth. With 30 levels to complete, the game will test your patience, reflexes, and puzzle-solving skills. Cole, tell us about The Taller I Grow.
Oh boy, will it test your patience. So the game is deceptive because it is incredibly simple. And even just from the menu, you're like, yeah, it's simple. I can do this. But it's a lie. It's a dirty, dirty lie. When you launch the game, you're presented with like an old CRT monitor look. Everything is black and white. You have like a desktop that is black with some white icons. One is to launch taller.exe. There's a trash bin. If you go into the trash bin and double click the virus, it shuts the game down. And you get an achievement that you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that's the first thing I did in the game.
There's also, you can input the Konami code and on the menu. That's an achievement. because of course it is. Everything has to have the Konami code at this point. I will say, if you input the Konami code, it actually lets you unlock all the levels.
Oh.
But doing so disables achievements.
Oh.
So it's good for practice, but you're going to get fucked if you try to get achievements that way. Now, when you actually play the game, you have two modes to start with. You can start with normal, or you can start with hardcore. Hardcore expects you to beat all 30 levels in one life, no restarts, no death. If you fuck up your puzzle and you can't get to a piece, you gotta start the whole thing over.
Yeah, no thanks.
That was miserable, and there are achievements for it, and I will not be getting those. They can fuck off. I hear chirpies. I don't know if the mic's picking it up.
A little, just a little.
Yeah. They got loud enough that I could hear them through my headphones. I was like, oh, the mic might have them at that point. But playing on hardcore, I don't know why anybody would want to put themselves through that hell. And I wish there weren't achievements for it, because that's just unacceptable shit. if you're going to play on normal, well, then you get as many retries as you want. And if you fuck up and you can't solve the puzzle, because that does happen. Sometimes you may jump in a way that you can't solve the puzzle, or you may move blocks in a way that there's just no getting out of it. Then you can just press Y and start over, and that's that. The actual puzzle-solving mechanic is incredibly simple, and it will fuck you over. So you have your little square dude. He's adorable. And you move the little square dude over onto another square, and then you press X. You merge them together. Easy peasy. Now they can move wherever within reason. You can then jump on more squares and more squares, and just move the squares around by merging and breaking them apart. Easy peasy. And then you get to level 15, and then you just want to break your controller. I don't know what it was about level 15, but I got so fucking stuck. And I had to literally stop playing, take a break, and go do something else. And then I came back, and I was still really fucking stuck. And so I had to go on YouTube, find somebody who had played the goddamn game, so that I could beat level 15.
Did you beat level 15?
I did with help, and then I felt like a dumbass. And then I went on and beat 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 all by myself just fine.
Proud of you.
I don't know what it is about 15, but I looked at it, and my brain was like, nope, we out. And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't fucking do it. Most of the levels are pretty self-explanatory. You can look at them for a few minutes and be like, oh yeah, that's fine. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Done. But there are some of them where you're just like, yeah, that's not happening. And that's frustrating. At least at this point, there are guides out on YouTube. There are people who have played through it enough that you can be like, okay, I can watch you do it, and I will get through it on normal, but I am never doing this shit on hardcore, even with a guide. But yeah, simple, good, solid puzzles. I wish some of them weren't so maddening. I wish hardcore mode could fuck right off. But other than that, I think it's a pretty solid game. I'm really impressed that even though it's simple, it plays well.
Well, then your verdict for $5.
$5. Yeah, I'm gonna go with a buy it, even with level 15 being the dick that it is. I think the rest of it is solid enough to justify forgiving level 15.
Maybe I think not we gave hardcore. Buy it to everything but Super Mash, and now I feel bad. I want to give Super Mash a buy it.
We get a retro buy it because we.
Yes.
I mean, and
I mean, we did praise it fairly heavily, and we did have Super an interview Mash with them on the show.
And Super Mash is. In the defense of that, the issue is more that just by the nature of what it is, it's going to be problematic for more people.
Yeah, it's just not for everyone.
And I just want to point out, I look at everything through a lens of I'm disabled and my hands are crooked. And when there's something that's impossible and I've put time into it, then I get pissy. Because now I've got wrist fatigue and I can't go play something that wasn't impossible.
You know. Oh, man. Oh, well. Well, that's it for this episode. Yeah. Thanks, Aki, for being here, hanging out with us. Nah, thanks to you for being here, hanging out with me. And
Now fuck me, too. I don't.
I'm married. I'm sorry.
Yeah, same.